Okay, tonight I want to give you a message on the true servant, the true servant of God. And to be a true servant of God, you first have to be what? You have to be a true Christian, don't you? You have to have Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. In John chapter 3, verse 3, it says, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." We must be born again. We must have Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior before we decide to serve Jesus Christ. In Mark chapter 7, verse 6, it says, Jesus says, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." They talk, they say that they're a Christian, but it says, Jesus says, their heart is far from me. As a servant of God, we need to be caring, kind, faithful, fruitful, giving. We need to love others. We need to pray for others, encourage others. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, it says that we are the light of the earth as Christians. In verse 16, it says, "Let your light so shine before men, so they'll see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven." And in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, it says the results of being a Christian, results of having Jesus Christ, a Holy Spirit living within us is this: "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, self-control, faith, temperance, goodness." Galatians chapter 5, verse 25, it says, "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." There's an old saying that says, don't talk the talk if you don't walk the walk. What it means is, if you're just talking that you're a Christian and you're living like the devil, you're doing nobody any good except Satan. You're turning more people away from Jesus Christ than bringing him to him. So don't talk the talk if you don't walk the walk. Jesus spoke a lot of times in what we call parables or stories. And he did that because he made it easier for us to understand what he's trying to say. So he'd tell it in a story so we could comprehend it. And he talks in a story, a parable, in Luke chapter 10, verse 30 through 37. And this story is about the Good Samaritan. A lot of you probably heard of that story. I'm going to read this. "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his clothing and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead." They beat him half dead. "And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side of the road." A priest. "And likewise a Levite, when he was at that place, and he came and looked unto him, and passed on the other side of the road. But then a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was and saw the man, and he had compassion on him and went to him and cleaned his wounds and poured oil and wine and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the next day when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave it to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever that thou spends more than what I gave you, I will come again and pay the rest. And Jesus said, which one of these three do you think was the good person that helped the man that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said unto him, go and do likewise. Now in this story, we have a priest coming first. And a priest is what? The religious leader. That's the man that should have stopped and had compassion and love and care for this man. What's he do? He walks on the other side of the road away from it and takes off. And then the second one was a Levite. And the reason he said a Levite is because, see, there's 12 tribes of Israel, Jewish tribes. And one of the tribes was a Levite tribe. And out of the Levite tribe, these people were appointed to work in the tabernacle of the Lord. They had that responsibility, working the tabernacle, the holy place. That's why he talks, a Levite passed by, another religious leader that had responsibilities in the church, and he walks by. And then the last one, but the Samaritan, he stops. And you know why he said this guy was a Samaritan? Well, a Samaritan was a certain type of people that the Jews didn't want anything to do with. They're half Jew and half Gentile. And they didn't want any dealings with a Samaritan. They thought they were better than the Samaritan. But Jesus says, the Samaritan is the one that had compassion, that had love, had care, had concern, and stopped and took care of that man. There was a big difference Jesus is showing here between being religious and really caring, being a true Christian. In John chapter 13, verse 35, Jesus says, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Jesus got very upset with some of the religious leaders back in Jesus' time, the scribes and the Pharisees, these religious leaders. And in Matthew chapter 23, he talks about the religious leaders. He didn't have a whole lot a good say about him. Listen to what he says. "Woe unto you scribes and you Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within you are full of extortion and excess. You're full of filth. Thou blind Pharisees, clean first which is within the cup and the platter, and the outside may be cleaned also. Woe unto you, you scribes and you Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you are likened to a white sepulcher." And if you don't know what a white sepulcher is, it's you see some of these graveyards have these big fancy buildings made out of stone, and they're real nice and contoured and carved. That's a sepulcher. And it says, "You are likened to these white sepulchres. They indeed appear beautiful on the outward, but within they are full of dead men's bones and full of uncleanness. Even so, you also are outwardly appear righteous unto men, but you are full of hypocrisy and sin." So see, Jesus knew their heart. Says man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks upon the heart. He knows your true heart, your desires, and why you do things. So we need to be a true servant. And I have some questions to ask you tonight. You answer them in your own mind. These are things that would prove that somebody really loves the Lord, in most cases, the true Christians, whether they do things for the Lord, why they do things for the Lord. Do you do things for the Lord only when it's convenient? Only when you have extra time? Only when it's something fun to do for the Lord? Do you give God quality time Or does God only get the leftovers? Do you put on a big show being religious? Or do you really have a concern for people and really care? Are you using your talents that God gave you for the Lord's work, or are you wasting them? Do you pray only when you need something from God? Lord, if you get me out of this trouble, I'll go to church. If you take care of these things, if you help me get out of this mess, I'll do what you want me to. Are you dealing with God? Are you praying only when you have to? Do you only get the Bible off the shelf when you're in trouble? Or are you reading it daily? At work, are you a hard worker? Can they count on you at work to be faithful there? Or are you a lazy person? Are you a lazy Christian? How many people where you work really will listen to you if you're lazy, if you're not dependable? Do you have a foul mouth? Do you tell dirty jokes? Is that what a true Christian does? I remember before I got saved, I was a young fella working as an apprentice in Tool and Die, and there's a lot of men there working with me. And one guy, he'd be over telling a group of guys dirty jokes. Then later on in the day, he'd try to witness to me about Jesus. I didn't listen to a word he had to say. I wasn't a Christian at the time, but I knew a true Christian wouldn't be telling those type of things. What a witness he was. He was worthless. He talked the talk, but he did not walk the walk. And everybody knew it. They just laughed at him. Yeah, you're a Christian. Are you a man of your word? When you say something, are you following through? Even though it might cost you something, are you holding true to what you say? Do you stretch the truth? Do you lie? How can you represent Jesus Christ when you do that? Are you faithful to the Lord's house? Going to church, reading your Bible, praying. Are you faithful? Did you know being a true Christian, a true servant of Jesus Christ is an awesome responsibility? Because you're representing Jesus. Sometimes the only Jesus people see is what they see in you, that you're representing Jesus. What an awesome responsibility. And someday, you're going to be right in front of the Lord Jesus Christ and give an account for what you've done. Is he going to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," or not? And you know, as a Christian, sometimes we go through some real rough roads. Rough times. And that's the time when the outsiders really watch us to see how we react to these rough times. See if we really stand. See if we're really real with Jesus Christ, or it's a big lie in our life. I remember years ago, I had only been saved for about 5 years. I was probably about 30 years old at the time. We heard about this lady in her 80s. She had sugar diabetes, real bad. She was a Christian lady. And sugar diabetes made her go blind. She was bedridden. They had to cut both her legs off. And we thought we'd go over to her house and encourage this lady. And never met the lady before. And you know, what I was expecting with a lady that couldn't see, a lady that's in pain, a lady that can't get out of her bed, a lady that has no legs, just laying there in a hospital bed. What would you expect when you go there? You'd think it'd be a dull, dreary place. But this lady was a true Christian. She was on fire for Jesus. And I had taken my accordion there to play some Christian songs for this lady and try to encourage her. And one song she asked me to play was a song that you sang tonight earlier. What a blessing. The eye is on the sparrow. Is that a coincidence you sang that today? No, it wasn't. It was by God's doing that you sang that song tonight. Because I asked Sister Sarah if she had the words of this song just tonight. Because at the last minute, I just felt led that I need to talk about this song, because I remember this lady asking me to play that song on the accordion. And here's the words of this song. This lady wanted to play. The lady is bedridden, blind, no legs. Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home? When Jesus is my portion, my constant friend is He. His eyes is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. Let not your heart be troubled. His tender word I hear. And resting on His goodness, I lose my doubts and my fears. Oh, by the path He leads me, but one step I may see. The eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. We went to encourage her. But you know who got encouraged? Who got blessed? Who left that house on fire for Jesus? My wife and I. We got encouraged by this lady. Wow. What a true blessing. In Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, it says, I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. This lady was almost bankrupt physically, but she was rich in the Lord. She was a powerhouse for Jesus Christ. She had that peace that passes all understanding. And it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4, God comforts us in all our tribulations, that we may comfort others. And that's what she did. She was comforting others. What a blessing. Being a true servant of God doesn't mean you're always healthy and always wealthy and that everybody's going to love you. In John chapter 15, verse 18. Here's what Jesus Christ said to the Christians, to the true servants of God. If the world hate you, know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I say unto you, a servant is not greater than the Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. And in chapter 16, it says this, these things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be upset. They shall put you out of the synagogues, and a time will come that whoever shall killeth you will think that he's doing God's service. You know, right now, today, there's people out there, they think by killing a Christian, they're doing God's service. Right here today, as we speak, they think they're doing God's service by killing Christians. And that's, the Lord says, it's going to happen. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, that you may remember that I told you them. And verse 33 says, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you can have peace. In this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. We have that encouragement from Jesus Christ. It's not going to be easy to be a servant of God. Luke chapter 9, verse 23 says that. Here's what Jesus says. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Jesus said that. Take up your electric chair daily and follow me. It's not always easy being a Christian. And Jesus said, there'll be very few that will have that commitment, that sacrifice to be the true and faithful servant of God. Very few. In Luke chapter 10, verse 2, Jesus says, the harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. When you look out into the world, you look out in here, there's always a harvest. There's people out there without Jesus. It says that harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. We as Christians are called to serve, to live for Him, to tell others about Jesus. In Mark 16, verse 15, it says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every person. 2 Corinthians 5:20, it says, we are ambassadors for Jesus Christ. I looked it up in the dictionary, what an ambassador is. It says, a representative of the highest rank. We're representatives of the highest rank for Jesus Christ. Does Jesus send angels to tell you about Jesus? No, He sends us, servants of God, to tell people about Jesus Christ. For those that got saved, that are saved here tonight, they didn't have an angel tap them on the shoulder and tell them about Jesus. It was a person down here telling them about Jesus. Isn't that an awesome responsibility? We carry the gospel. We're ambassadors. We're representatives of Jesus Christ. Matthew 4, verse 19, Jesus says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Fishers of men. When I first got saved, I was on fire trying to tell everybody about Jesus. And I wasn't a fisherman. I was a hunter. I was blasting people with the Bible. I was turning people away. I was hitting them so hard with the Bible. And I learned later on from a pastor, he says, don't be a hunter blasting people with the word. You be a fisherman. You bait the hook. You throw the bait out. And you let the fish come to the bait. And you know what the bait is? Living a Christian life. When they see Jesus living in you, seeing something different, that you're not of the world, but you're in the world. They see that light shining in you, something different. That's the bait that draws people to Jesus. When they see you, like this lady that had sugar diabetes, when they see people like that, that's still praising the Lord, what does she have that I don't have? That's what draws people to Jesus. We need that. In 2 Timothy, Apostle Paul talks, let's see, 2 Timothy chapter 4, starts with verse 2. Apostle Paul, he's a man that used to be Saul, and he used to stone Christians, hated Christians, and all of a sudden he gets saved. Now, he's on fire for Jesus, the Apostle Paul that wrote a lot of the books of the Bible. Here's what he's saying to Christians, to the true servants of God. He says, preach the word in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort, and long-suffering in doctrine. For a time will come where people will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts, they shall heap themselves teachers having itchy ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall believe fables and lies. But watch all things. Here's to our servants. Watch all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make proof of thy ministry. And Apostle Paul says here, for I am now ready to be offered, and my time of departure is at hand. He knew he was going to be dying soon. I have fought a good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, of righteous, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. There's a blessing, there's a crown of righteousness he's going to give to those that have fought the good fight and have kept the faith. The servants of God stand firm with Jesus Christ. And the Lord blesses us with these words in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. Eyes have not seen, nor ears heard, nor neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. We can't comprehend how great heaven's going to be when we get there. We need to endure down here, but someday we will reap what we sow. And in Revelation 21, verse 4, God says this, and God shall wipe away all tears from our eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Blessed is the servant that when the Lord does come, shall find him so doing. That's in Matthew chapter 24, verse 46. Are we doing the will of God? Are we living for him? Are we the true servant? Matthew 25, verse 21 says this. Is God going to say this to you? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Maybe you aren't a true servant of God. Maybe you're here tonight, you aren't a true Christian. You never asked Jesus Christ into your heart. Maybe you think you've gone too far. You've done too many bad things. You can't get right with Jesus. But there's hope through Jesus Christ. The Bible says we're all sinners. There's none righteous. No, not one. And in 1 Corinthians, I want to read this to you. Know this, that the unrighteous shall not enter the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, or abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetousness, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. They shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But listen to the next verse. And such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. That's the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. And such were all of us, was sinners, but Jesus Christ saved us. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. All. Jesus Christ said in Romans 5:8, God commendeth his love towards us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 6:23, it says, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from what? All unrighteousness. Not part all. We're new. We're fresh. The sins are gone. All unrighteousness. And you all know John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And it goes on. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but through him the world may be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. I'm going to close with this story. And I tell this story about every time I come. And some of you have heard it, some of you haven't. But there's a lot of wisdom in this little story. That's why I tell it about every time I come here. It's a story about a missionary. Back in the olden days before we had cars. And he'd ride this horse all around on these Indian villages out west. He was a missionary. Toting his big Bible. He had a burden for the Indian people. He wanted them to know about Jesus Christ. So one day, he's telling this Indian chief about Jesus Christ. How he died on the cross for his sins. And the old Indian chief gave his heart to Jesus that day. He became a true Christian, a true servant of God. Well, the missionary leaves that village and goes on to other villages. And about 3 months later, he comes back to this village. And he sees the old Indian chief sitting there. He goes up to him, starts talking to him, and he says, how is it to be a Christian? And the Indian chief says, it's great. He says, my sins are forgiven. The load of sin is off my shoulders. I have that peace that passes all understanding. I know when I die, I'm going to heaven. But he says, there's two cats inside of me, and they fight from the time I get up in the morning till the time I go to bed. They're fighting. And the missionary says, what do you mean there's two cats inside of you fighting? Well, the Indian chief says, well, one cat represents my flesh. The flesh wants to do its old things, the old sinful things. And the other cat is the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ living inside of me. And they fight from the time I get up in the morning till the time I go to bed. The flesh is, let's do this, let's do that. And the Holy Spirit says, no, let's do this. And they're fighting. And the missionary says, well, which cat usually wins? This is the words of wisdom right here. Listen close. If you haven't got anything out of anything all tonight, this is it. The cat I feed the most wins. That's it. If you're reading your Bible, you're praying to the Lord, you're memorizing Scripture, you're feeding the Holy Spirit, and it becomes stronger and stronger and stronger, and it controls your life. But you leave that Bible on the shelf, you stop praying, you start letting the flesh start controlling your life, that's the one that's going to control it, the old flesh. And it's your choice which cat you feed. I've talked to zillions of people in here over 15 years, And they say, you know, while I'm in here, I'm doing the Bible studies, I'm reading, I'm praying. And I say, I'm never coming back in this place again. And I see him coming back. And that's the story I tell them. Because they said, I don't know, what am I doing wrong? I tell them, you got to feed that cat, the spiritual cat, and you won't be back in here. And sometimes you got to get rid of all the friends that you have because they keep feeding the flesh part of you. You need to get in a good Bible-believing church and let the Holy Spirit grow. Fellowship with other believers to strengthen the spirit and starve that flesh. Yeah, the bodybuilder gets strong by feeding the body. But the true servant of Jesus Christ gets stronger by feeding the Spirit of Jesus Christ lives within you. And I ask you this here tonight. How many cats do you have? If you're here tonight and you're a true Christian, you got the two cats, the flesh and the Holy Spirit. If you don't have Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, you got one cat, the flesh. And the flesh has no power over Satan. And the flesh will control and direct your life. And if you don't have Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior here tonight, now's the time to get the spiritual cat. We're going to give an altar call here tonight. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, now's the time to come up as the song plays. And I'll lead you in a sinner's prayer. You can leave here tonight knowing for sure that you're on your way to heaven. And I have these little booklets. Knowing God personally, I'll share with you. Do you know God personally? Maybe he's tugging on your heart tonight. Maybe that Holy Spirit's tugging. Jesus Christ says in Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open that door, I will come into him." Is he tugging? Is it time to open that door of your heart? Let Jesus Christ come in. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 and 33, Jesus Christ says, "If you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father, which is in heaven. If you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father, which is in heaven." So take a bold stand for Jesus Christ tonight. Don't let him say, "Hey, what will people think if I go forward?" Who cares what people think? It's what the Lord thinks. We're not people pleasers. Don't let peer pressure or pride destroy your spirituality. You need to get right with Jesus. I remember one guy coming up here. He says, "Man, it was rough coming up." He said, "I was getting ready to come up, and the guy next to me grabbed me. He said, 'Sit down.' But he said, 'I come up anyways.'" Satan had his last tug, didn't he? Huh? That guy did business with Jesus Christ. So as the song plays, the Lord's tugging on your heart tonight. It's time to do business. Don't hold back, because you're not guaranteed your next breath. You're not guaranteed tomorrow, but you are a guaranteed of eternity, eternity in heaven or hell. It's your choice. God loved us so much, he gave us a choice where we spend eternity. Even as he was nailed on that cross, arms open wide, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Wow, no greater love. Took me 25 years of my life before I found out the truth and I got saved. Yeah, here's the kid that used to hide in church. Here's the kid that flunked membership class at church, hated to read out loud, hated to get in front of a group, was a stutter, all that. The Lord changed my heart, my priorities. And I know he's real because he lives within my heart. And I know I'm going to heaven, not because I'm good or kind, because I'm none of those things. It's because I'm forgiven. He forgave me my sins. And I'm going to heaven because of what Christ did on the cross for me. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Thank you, kind Heavenly Father, for this group of people here tonight. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for dying on the cross for us. If there's anyone here tonight, it's not for sure they're on their way to heaven, tug on their heart. Let them come up here tonight, get right with you. And those that are yours, that are your servants, let us remember it's an awesome responsibility to represent you, ambassadors for Christ. Let us be that ambassador. Let us be that servant, that light in this dark world for you. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As the song plays, if you want to get right with Jesus tonight, come on up.